The Home Depot has made a special buy. 10-inch hibiscus plants are just $9.98. Hibiscus plants have large, colorful blooms, so they'll make a big impact in your garden or on your patio while having very little impact on your budget. We're lowering the cost of a very colorful long weekend with 10-inch hibiscus plants for just $9.98. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only, see store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. We shape the life for a better tomorrow.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. We have a great show lined up. As always, we're discussing the latest in entertainment news, Ron's perspective on what's going on in sports, fashion, the latest in movie reviews. Tonight, we have a panel of guests who will be in a discussion with us on the status of race in 2011. You definitely don't want to miss that. Our guests. We want to thank them in advance for being on tonight to give us their perspective. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you give us a call at 718-664-6543, 718-664-6543. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Steve-O?
I'm good. Are you excited about tonight's show?
I am. I'm a little down. My Celtics just lost, but it's all good.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, Chike, his... You know, if we switch to Mondays, his schedule fluctuates. So he's on the line with us now. Chike, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you doing, Ms. Parker?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
So did you guys want to know, did you see any movies this weekend?
I didn't, but I was hoping you got to see the one we've been anticipating for a minute now.
Oh, yeah. And it was good, too. Jump in the
was
room.
It? Jump in the room.
It was. It was everything that I thought it was going to be, and then some. Made you tear up a little bit. It made you cry a little bit. It made you think about, you know, interracial racism a little bit. It was pretty good. It was a well-rounded movie.
Okay.
Honestly, my opinion, I thought that it was better than Tyler Perry's movie.
Wow.
You know, I tend to go for the more theatrical stuff.
Right.
I guess, you know, that whole war between Spike Lee and Tyler Perry is going on now about Spike Lee calling Tyler Perry, he's dealing in buffoonery. And
right, yeah.
I'm not a fan of that. Although I find Tyler Perry funny, you know, some of his stuff can tend to, you know, go down that road.
Okay.
I found Jump in the Broom thoroughly enjoyable.
Wow.
It's a good family movie. Everybody can go to it. Everybody can relate to it, and it's just all around good movie.
Okay.
So I highly recommend that.
That sounds great. Do you see anything else?
Second movie was Thor.
Another
excellent movie.
Okay.
But you have to see that in 3D and in IMAX. You know, like the big theater with the glasses
right.
and all. You have to do the whole thing. You thoroughly appreciate it that way. I'm a comic book fan, like from a little kid. So, you know, I've been looking forward to stuff like this, you know, forever. I thought that they did a good job. They tend to get a little jokey. Sometimes in the Marvel movies, they get a little jokey. I tend to like a little seriousness with my heroes, but I still give it a thumbs up. So it's a must see.
Okay. Well, definitely check out both of those. I definitely want to see Jumping the Bro, and I just want to see Thor too. I've heard a lot of good things about both movies. So
yeah, both.
Anything else that's coming out that you look forward to?
I'm still waiting for that X-Men First Class, and I'm looking forward to definitely The Hangover 2. I'm waiting for that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's at the end of the month.
Okay. Anything else?
So far, you know, I have a couple independents, but you know, I'm not going to shout them out just yet. You know, I'll tell you as they come out, because you know you can't see those at regular theaters. You kind of have to go beyond the beaten path to find those. So I'll let you know where they're playing and you know all that stuff.
All right. Well, as always, GK, thanks again, and I'll definitely be checking out both of those movies and let you know what I think.
No doubt.
All right. Have a good night.
And you
thanks,
have a good
GK.
Night. You're welcome.
Ms. Parker, anything going on this week?
You know, just work, I guess. I had a pretty good weekend. I went to Raleigh to see my brother. He was in town. He is in town for about 3 weeks. He works in Kuwait. He comes home twice a year, and he's here for 3 weeks, and I flew out there. His wife, shout out to my sister-in-law, Tyra, for graduating with her master's degree.
And being
the super mom that she is. Great job.
Congratulations.
And love you.
Congratulations, sir. When did your brother go back to Kuwait?
He leaves on Friday.
This Friday.
Yeah, she's definitely holding everything down, so big up to her.
Well, I have a few announcements. This coming Saturday, the 14th, I'll be performing at Extra Magazine is having their re-release, and it's at the London Bistro Ultra Lounge at 9 p.m. here in Atlanta. And then, Ms. Park, I know we're both going to the Comedy Club, Comedy Explosion, on May 27th at Porter Sanford Performing Arts Community Center at 8 o'clock. So make sure you definitely check out both of those. We'll have information on our page. I know before we discussed the free pharmacy discount program, people have saved thousands of dollars on this program, free pharmacy discount program. The website is fdicares.com. Again, it's fdicares.com, and you can save money on your health care. When I know with everything going on with health care, that would be a great opportunity for everyone, so make sure you check that out. And as you know, at the Stephen Knight Show, our mission is to bring you the latest in entertainment news, sports, interviews, fashion, of course, music. We want the show to be very interactive. We definitely want to hear from you.
Yes, make sure to like us on Facebook if you haven't done so. We are going to harass you until you do. So if you're tired of hearing me say this, please go ahead and like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, the Stephen Knight Show, SHO. Each and every Monday, we will post the question of the day. We appreciate your feedback. We look forward to hearing from you. So please feel free to leave us your thoughts and opinion on what the question of the day is.
Well, today's question of the day kind of goes hand-in-hand with the discussion we'll be having later on in the show. Which race is discriminated against the most? Ms. Mark, what do you think? Which race do you think gets discriminated against the most?
You know, I'm always a little off the beaten path. I don't know. I think African Americans have the longest history of being discriminated against. But discrimination is a problem, period. So I don't know if I can rank. I don't know if I'm comfortable with ranking discrimination. But I definitely think that that our history goes back, the furthest, and I don't think African Americans or Black people are any less to discriminate against other people as well, because I see that a lot. So I look forward to hearing what the panel has to say.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think as time has gone on, people have been more sensitive, maybe not completely, but more sensitive towards the Black versus white discrimination issues. And I see it, and now that a lot of the Hispanics are getting it. People always making Mexican jokes and whatnot. So that's what I think. But we'll talk about that a little bit more later on in the show. And I'm interested to hear what everyone has to say, as Ms. Parker said. So make sure you go on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you think. And we'll be right back. All right, well, we're having some technical difficulties, but that's okay. Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show for those just tuning in. Ms. Park, let's go into entertainment news. What's going on?
I was reading something earlier today that Whitney Houston is back in rehab, but she's in outpatient rehab, and she's doing it because of the part two, a sequel to Waiting to Exhale. Now, I'm not sure why she would need to go back into rehab to do a movie unless she still has an issue. So, what do you think about that?
From what her people said, because, you know, first they came out and said that she was in outpatient rehab, but it was for cleansing. It wasn't because of drugs or alcohol. But then they came back and said that she was being treated for drugs and alcohol, but it's in continuation to the rehab that she's been doing. And so, you know, she's about to go. Angela Bassett actually just announced that the whole cast is returning for the sequel of Waiting to Exhale, Getting Happy by Terry McMillan. And some people are speculating that this could be insurance issues. You know, when actors do movies, they have to have insurance. And I guess to prove that she's in good health and whatnot. But, you know, she was recently spotted at, you know, Prince has been putting on performances in L.A. And a lot of celebrities have been coming, and he pulled them on stage. And last week, Whitney actually went to two of them. And the second one she went on, she actually performed with him. And then she, Chaka Khan brought on stage to sing Tell Me Something Good. So who knows what's really going on? I guess we'll never know, but we definitely wish the best for her, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think rehab is always a good thing for her, honestly.
Yeah.
So.
And some, if for someone to voluntarily check themselves in, hey, I'd rather them go to rehab than be
exactly.
At home, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of rehab, what about Ted, The Voice?
Ted the Voice is back in rehab.
But, I mean, this is like his fourth or fifth time going back to rehab. But, you know, they say drug is a disease, so
you never know.
It's not definitely not going to work itself out overnight. I wish him well, but, you know, I just think it's going to be a lifelong struggle, and I think that he's not 100% dedicated to getting well.
Well, from what I read, you know, Dr. Phil brought him on the show and paid for his first stint in rehab. I did not know this, but after 5 days, Ted checked himself out.
Yeah.
So,
he did that, and then he sent him back, and then he checked himself out again.
Yeah, so this time he apparently says that he is committed to it. He's going to do the 30-day stint, and that when he's finished, he'll be able to look Dr. Phil in the face and say, I did it. And he said that even if he has to pay for it himself, he'll undo it. So we'll see what happens with that. But I wish him the best as well, because it seems like This drug addiction is such a disease that really just,
it's funny because I was telling my brother and I was having this conversation, right? We were saying we don't understand why people even start drugs. Like, you know once you start.
You know what's going to happen, right?
you know your life is going downhill from there. Yes. So why even start something like that?
Yeah.
You have no control over your life once you start drugs, you know?
Right. I have an occasional drink, but that's one thing you'll never catch me doing.
Exactly.
Just doing drugs because you already know what can happen. So, you know, I wish both of them the best, sobriety, and come back doing what it is they do, you know?
Exactly. What about all of these celebrities losing weight?
Yeah.
I mean, it's summertime. Everybody trying to get their sexy on? Or what?
From Aretha Franklin to Jordan Sparks to Raven Simone.
Gil Scott just lost 50 pounds. I'm like, everybody losing weight at 50.
Gil Scott lost 50 pounds?
Yes,
wow.
50 pounds.
Wow.
Like, everybody losing weight, I'm getting fat. Like, what possible?
We're talking you far from fat.
But, so everyone's, I mean, Raven,
mm-hmm.
Jennifer Hudson, everyone.
Jennifer
Hudson,
yeah.
Everyone looks great, so.
Yeah,
I need to get on that diet. I know they're on that starvation diet, so.
Yeah. Because I hope they're doing it the healthy way, because what happened the first time they eat a burger, they're going to be right back to the regular size. You know? That's what it is when you do these little quick fix workouts. I mean, diet, the minute you eat a real meal, it's all she wrote.
Yeah, I mean, but I'll take being skinny for a good week.
right.
No, they all look pretty good. They all look pretty good. So I've missed two episodes of our favorite show. What's been going on with the
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, last week they brought LaToya back. She had been fired. She came back on because she felt like that she, you know, she shouldn't have been fired. And so she called a meeting with Donald Trump, and he agreed, and he let her back. And so she joined the men's team. Well, this week they had two challenges or you know, things they had to complete. And the first task, they had to raise money doing a comedy show, putting together a comedy show or something like that. They had to raise money. And Latoya's team, she was project manager, she lost. Oh, that's something else. You know, Nene and Star got into it really bad last week, right?
Right. Well, right. So they brought Latoya back last week.
Right. So Nene and Star got into it, though, really bad. And so Mr. Trump moved Nene to Latoya's team. So Latoya, Nene, Little John, and John Rich. And then Star, Meatloaf, and Marlon. And, you know, Nene went missing in action right after the boardroom, ended up quitting. Mr. Trump called her, and she said that, you know, I felt like you accommodated Star, and I'm out, basically. So she left the show. She quit before.
So she quit this week.
She quit this week.
I'm glad, because I'm tired of her embarrassing black folks.
So she quit. Latoya's team lost. Both teams did well, but Marley's team just went raised more money. So
who's on Marley's team? So Marley's by herself?
Marley and Meatloaf. And
okay,
Star
so
Jones.
It's Marley and Meatloaf and it's
and Star Jones. But then Latoya got fired because they lost. And then apparently they had another task. I didn't catch the second task, but I heard that Star got fired. So now it's down to Little John and John Rich on one team, and then Marley and Nico for the other team.
Yeah, I really, I've been really pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
With Little John.
Little John has really done his thing. Yeah.
Very pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to play catch up. So I'm missing 5 hours of The Apprentice. I heard it was 3 hours this week.
Yeah, it was 3 hours last night. That's why I didn't catch it all. I saw the first hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. But I missed it. But I have a TiVo, so I'll go back to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those days to just catch up on it,
exactly.
All of it. So,
who do you think is going to win from this point?
The country dude is still in there, right?
Yeah, he's still in there. John Rich.
I actually think it's going to be Marley. I like her a lot.
Okay.
I thought she and Star Jones were going to be in the final too, but I guess not. Star got fired. I know she hate that.
Right. She was fine at that. She was fine.
What?
Yeah,
you know Star was taking that thing serious, huh?
Yeah. A-Ron was telling me, I think he said that Meatloaf called her sweetie or something, and she didn't like that, and then Donald Trump overheard
Star Jones?
Yeah. And Donald Trump heard her going off on him, and he kind of went in on her. And that's when she started crying because she probably should have been ganged up on and whatnot. But she got fired.
Everybody falling apart.
Right. Yeah, what else?
That's it for this week, unless you have something else. Speaking of reality show, I've missed the Braxton last week. So I'm going to try to catch it this week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow,
right?
Yeah. I'm going to try to catch him tomorrow. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about that next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ms. Ferguson, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm
That's
here.
Okay. How you doing?
I fell asleep. You know, it's my bedtime.
No. Just past your bedtime.
I'm doing okay tonight. How you doing?
I'm good. What do you have for us?
Well, I have a couple sales for you, of course, and you guys got to have to bear with me because I just got kind of excited when I was coming across all of these deals, so, you know, just bear with me. I know the clock is like, I know she wants to hear this, so the first thing that I want to tell you guys about, do you know about Beyond the Rat? If
no.
If you don't, it's like, you'll love it. Oh, you will absolutely love it. Just go to www.beyondtherack.com, and that's BEYONDTHERACK.com. And basically what they do is they have like all of these designer deals. And it's sort of like how do you put it? I don't know if you know about the Gilt Group but it's a lot better than the guilt group. And basically, like, you can get, like, all types of things on super-duper sale. Like, they have, like, especially on Sundays, they have these things called Sunday Deals and Sales, and they discount everything on that Sunday up to 85% off. So, like, I came across a pair of designer boots. So, these boots, now, it's up to 85% off. Let's keep that in mind, okay? So, I came across a pair of, up to 85% off. I came across a pair of Adrian Benedini boots. They were originally $550, and they are $199. So that may not be like, you might think, okay, well, it's $200, but it's still, you know, you're saving a whole lot of money there. And then, like, I came across another pair of Adrian Benedini boots, and they were over 50% off. They were, and these are some bad boots, too. They were, they're originally $210, they're $99 now.
Wow.
And like, if designer isn't the way you want to go, like, they have, like, they partner with all types of designers and all types of stores. So they have, like, Chloe's Purses, and then they have, there's a store called Soul Society, and all of their boots on Soul Society is up to 90% off. Now, I know what you're thinking, like, you know, it's summertime, it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow in Atlanta, so... you know, buying boots is ridiculous, but it's actually not, because I always recommend that people buy things off season.
Yeah.
Because you say, well, you get the most bang for your buck. Like, I'm looking at a pair of boots right now that are they were originally $115. Now, they're not designer, but, you know, this is just, they were originally $115. They're on beyondtherag.com for $30. So, I mean,
wow.
It's like you can get all kinds of deals on Beyond the Rag. And if you're into handbags like I am, that's like my Achilles heel or one of my many Achilles heels. Like, they have Chloe handbags on sale. And, you know, it may not seem like a great deal to you if you're not looking to spend a couple hundred dollars on a handbag, but I do because I collect them. They have, you know, like, handbags that were originally $1,800. They've been discounted to, you know, $1,000 or $900. So they do little deals like that. And they always...
Give us
and,
that website one more time.
BeyondTheRack.com.
Great.
And they, I mean, they have... Yeah, they have all kinds of deals. I mean, and like I say, and their deals change daily. So they may do one deal for 2 days, and then, like you say, you might miss that sale, but then they'll do another one on something completely different. And they do all types of things. They do accessories. They do lingerie, you know, all types of undergarments. They do... you know, clothing. They even do, like, home goods. So they do all kinds of things. And it's usually all, like, you know, midway to high-end, you know, products. So it's not anything that's just cheap. You know, they're not just going to give you a little Timex watch and say, oh, you got a great deal. No. If you get a good deal on a watch, it's going to be something like a Gucci watch. Like, I bought a Gucci purse off of BeyondTheRack.com for probably about $400. I mean, it's, you know, you can... I love this website. So, you know, I just got really excited when I came across, because I haven't been to it in so long, and then I just came across it. And I said, oh, I have got to talk about Beyond the Rag tonight, especially with all of
I was about to say, you've been holding out
Sunday
on it.
Girl, I haven't been to it in so long, so it just sort of slipped my mind. And, like, you know, like, they have, like, some things right now. I'm looking at some stuff on here that's starting at under $19. I mean, so they have all types of things, and you know that it's not anything that's going to be just cheap, you know.
Right.
So I absolutely love the website. So that's something that you guys may want to check out. And it's one of those websites where you have to actually sign up for the Deco Pay, because the beauty of signing up for something like this is that they'll tell you every day the types of deals that they're putting out. So, and they also tell you a couple of days in advance. So if you know that was like a Gucci purse that you were looking for, you know, you can keep an eye out on for BeyondTheRag.com's email, and they'll let you know when the next sale is coming up. So that's the beauty of signing up with these people. And also, if you refer friends, you get $10 per friend. So you get like a $10 credit per friend. I love this website. So that's something that you guys may want to check out. Yeah. So another deal that I came across, of course, is one of my favorite online stores, Victoria's Secret. Well, what isn't my favorite online store, right? But Victoria's Secret, they're having, I like their clothes because they make sort of classic-looking clothes that, you know, that are sort of boutique-y, you know. give you sort of, like, sometimes they give you a sort of a boutique deal. So I came across this sale, and it's they're having a clearance sale. All of their clearance items are up to 65% off. So you might want to check that out tonight. And then Macy's, yeah, definitely. I was already on it. Macy's is having a sale, and basically they call this their buy more, save more sale. And you get $10 for every $50 you spend, $20 for every $100 you spend, $30 for every $150 you spend, and $50 for every $200.
You know I say Macy's.
Yeah, and I was like, I was in there actually on Saturday, and I slipped up, and I bought a couple of Rachel Roy. Have you looked at Rachel Roy's collection?
No, I haven't. I've looked at it online, but not in the store.
Okay,
they have a big. They have a big. Okay, I was going to say, I don't think they have a large collection out in the stores.
Well, it depends on which store you went to. The one I went to was North Point Mall, and they had, like, a pretty big collection. I haven't been to the one at Perimeter, but I haven't been to see that collection at Perimeter. But Perimeter is, like, one of the flagship stores. So if you ever want to visit Perimeter Mall or Lenox Mall, that's one of Macy's flagship stores. And those are two of their flagship stores in Atlanta. So I know that their collection is bigger there than anywhere. But I went to North Point Mall, and I bought four dresses by Rachel Roy, and they were all on sale. And, I mean, the original price for Rachel Roy, in my opinion, can be kind of pricey. I mean, it ranged anywhere from about $70 to about, you know, maybe $100-plus. Well, I got, you know, I got their dresses. I think I got every dress that I got was under $40.
Wow.
So
you racked
really
up.
Excited about that. Yeah, I did, and I got four dresses, so I should have been shopping. I'm supposed to be saving money, but yeah, right. Who's going to do that, right?
Yeah, I think you went all out.
So, I really did. I have a problem. I know that. And I also wanted to tell you about if you're looking, like, if you're in the market for a new job and you know that you're going to need some new suits, ladies, Jones New York and Anne Klein are both having sales. Anne Klein's sale is only 48 hours, and it just started today. And you can get up to 75% off of select items. And Jones New York, if you're looking for anything that's sort of, you know, for an office setting or any type of business suit, you know, Jones New York is really good for that. And they also have, you know, a lot of dresses, you know, a lot of daywear dresses that you can wear as well. But but, you know, those two stores are usually for more of a mature crowd. But that's why I said for, you know, for things like an office setting or, you know, if you're going to go to church, you know, if you're going to go to any type of, you know, business lunch, that would be, I would shop there for that. And there in Jones, New York is having a sale for up to 70% off of select items. So,
and is this online?
It's online, yes.
Okay.
And you can find them through my website as well if you go to budgetshopaholic.com. But, Anne Klein, again, is 48 hours only, and that sells up to 75% off of select items. And Jones New York is up to 70% off of select items. So that's something that you might want to keep in mind. And the last but not least, Nine West is also having a sale. Now, they constantly have different types of sales. It depends on how they feel. Sometimes they'll give you a sale, like a, you know, a clearance sale, and they'll give you an additional 25 to 30% off of their sale price. And sometimes they'll just say, okay, you know what, we're going to scrap that. We're going to give 40% off of our regular price items. So right now they're doing the 40% off of select items, and those items are regular price. So that's something that you also might want to keep in mind if you're in the, you know, if you're in the market for a new pair of shoes or any type of accessories. Yeah, they're having a sale up to 40% off. And I think that's all I have for you guys tonight.
Well, we definitely appreciate you. You did good tonight, girl.
I'm already ready to go shopping.
You hooked us up.
Well,
don't
be like me because I was not supposed to shop, so, yeah.
Thank you so much, Janera, and you have a great night, okay?
All right, you guys do that. Okay, you do the same.
Thanks, Janera.
Okay,
y'all
bye-bye.
Get to check her out, her finds on budgetshopaholic.com.
Definitely.
Aaron, you there?
Yes.
Aaron, don't be on here talking reckless. I'm on Celtics, okay?
I'm not.
Because I will go off on you like you went off on Carla last week.
Uh-oh.
I would. So I just want to warn you, don't talk reckless about my Celtics. You know, the pain's still kind of fresh.
Okay, well, you all redeemed yourself the other night. Now, I don't know about tonight because I've actually just got finished playing a game of basketball myself. So I don't know if Boston won tonight or if they lost.
You don't know if Boston won or lost, you said?
Tonight, yeah.
We lost in overtime.
Oh.
Yeah, but you know, the thing with Boston, we're bad closers, and once we go to overtime, it's kind of a wrap.
So we lost
by, I think, 6 in overtime in OT, 5 in OT.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. I'm sorry.
I was
so hoping that Boston would have, you know, won the game, and it would have been an even series. Okay.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You sound a little muffled.
I got a little muffled?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay, hold on.
There you go. You sound much better now. So what do you think about the finals so far, the playoffs?
Mm. Oh, man. A lot of drama.
Yeah.
a lot of drama with, like, championship teams, you know, teams that
Lakers.
Are, you know. Yeah. Mm. A lot of just – Hold on.
Aaron? We can't hear you, Aaron.
The Lakers just fell apart.
Still can't hear you.
Oh, gosh. What about now?
There you go. The Lakers fell apart. Yeah.
Oh, boy. America, please excuse the technical difficulties. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's
but anyway.
Okay. We're live.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Lakers fell apart. Bynum, just, I don't know. That was horrible. I actually fault the Lakers' lack of leadership. I mean, Kobe should have really gotten into Bynum's face, should have gotten into, gosh, who's the one that's married to Khloe Kardashian?
You weren't going to say he needs
Odom.
To get up
yeah.
and run Artest's face. He's not crazy enough to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Ron Artest, who everybody thought was going to be this, like, crazy guy, is really a really cool guy. He's really cool.
Ron Artest is crazy. He said he bipolar, schizophrenic, everything.
No. Ron Artest had a moment, like, if I would have had that moment, if someone would have poured their half drink and spit in the cup beer in my face, I would have went in too.
He's always going in.
He's always doing something.
But he has admitted to being like to have mental issues. So I mean, I like the guy. I like him better when he didn't play for the Lakers because he was always in Kobe's face when he didn't play
for
the Lakers.
Yeah, but the Lakers. I just hated that Phil Jackson had to, you know, leave his last game coaching with a loss like that.
Oh, poor Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for him. I like him,
I feel bad for him because I'm like, you know, this man, I honestly thought that the Lakers were at least going to win this game. I knew they were not going to win the series, but, I mean, at least win the game or at least go to overtime, make it close or something.
Yeah.
But 34-point blow, I mean.
Right.
Yeah. For a two-time defending championship team, I don't get it. I was just shocked. I was really shocked by the whole game from beginning
to
end.
Well, Aaron, we got to get ready to wrap up, but let me ask you this. Who do you think now is going to be in the finals?
Well, I did say the Lakers, didn't I, out of the West, so that's scratched them off. I have, you know, okay, you heard it here first. I have Memphis. And Miami in the finals.
Memphis and Miami.
Yeah, I feel it.
So. Well, if you agree with Aaron, go on Twitter, let him know.
Whatever.
Ron Cobb, you won? Were you going to say Aaron?
Yes, sir. Ron Cobb.
Yeah.
Ron Cosby won on Twitter. Aaron, A-R-O-N, Cosby, C-O-S-B-Y, on Facebook. So.
On Facebook. And we appreciate you as always, Aaron, and we'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye,
we'll be right
Aaron. Back.
Bye, Ms. Parker.
We'll be right back.
Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing. So with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573. Or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm your co-host, Ms. Parker. What's going on, Steve-O?
Well, Ms. Parker, you know, for many people, the topic of race is both a sensitive and uncomfortable subject.
Especially for me.
Right. Well, many people feel that racism is not as big an issue today as it was previously. But tonight I've asked a panel of guests to join us just to have a discussion about the status of race relations in 2011. I want to first introduce each person on our panel, and I first want to thank them for being here. I think one person is missing, but we'll find out who that is when we go into it. But you may remember our first guest. He was on our show back in February when we had our discussion on religion. His mother is Japanese and black. His father, who was active military, is half black, a quarter white, and a quarter Cherokee Indian. Tyrone has lived in California, Delaware, Maryland, Germany, but now resides in Georgia, where he spent most of his life. Welcome, Tyrone.
How's everybody doing?
Hey, right? Tyrone.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
I saw your jerk move, Tyrone.
Okay.
I'm going to get you later for that.
Let me introduce the rest. We'll get everybody in. Our next guest is a Caucasian mother of two from California, but has lived in Atlanta for the past 6 years. Both her daughters are biracial, mixed with both black and white. Bree, are you here?
I'm here, checking in.
Thanks for being here. How are you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
We're good. Our next guest is originally from Ecuador. He recently released his book, Memoirs of an Illegal Alien, which documents his personal experience living in the United States as an illegal immigrant for 23 years. Fernando, let me make sure I say it right, Briciano is a self-educated writer in the English language who felt compelled to write his story to be part of the voice for millions of undocumented workers living in the shadows of the United States. Fernando, are you here?
Por supuesto. Hola, everybody.
Thank you for being here, Fernando.
Hi, Fernando.
Hola,
welcome.
Thank you.
Our next guest is a young rapper who is currently working on his next project and will be performing on the 13th in Atlanta on 595th North and 29th Street. I think it's Cloud 4. Johnny Brave, you there? Okay, I guess that's the one that's missing. Well, finally, I'm proud to introduce my younger brother. He studied civil rights movement and the empowerment of people. He was born right outside of Richmond, Virginia. I'm in a middle-class, predominantly white neighborhood. Aaron, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of y'all for being here tonight. Thank you for taking the time out your busy schedules to be on the show tonight. Well, our question of the day today was, which race is discriminated against the most? Tyler, let me start with you. What do you think is the race that gets discriminated against the most, in your opinion?
Oh, that's such a broad question. I would still say probably black people, just because of the history that's occurred here in America.
You go then. Does anyone agree? Anyone else agree with him in terms of black people being the most discriminated race? And at this point, 2011. You agree, Aaron?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I kind of agree with it, but like Tyrone said, it's a little bit more the answer is actually kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. Because right. I would say that worldwide, and because of the history of race, black people is the most discriminated everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the United States, I don't think it's a matter of race discrimination as much as a matter of financial situation.
Financial? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, Tyrone, we talked about the classism. Remember we talked about that before, Tyrone, with classism? Do you agree?
In the broad general statement that the other man just said, I do agree. However, there's still a stigmatism and stereotype of black people in general and there's still a white power structure system. I agree, mm-hmm. It's still classism. You can overpower it if you become higher economically. However, mm-hmm. Just some people will still view you, no matter how much money you make as that black person, that will never. There's still a, and it's solely because of the way the United States was created under a slave system. But however, 99% of the time, it's more of a classism problem than it is
and
a
racial
problem.
If I can throw in my two cents, I think that classism and racism are close cousins, and I think the poorer people tend to be people of color. Period. So I think they go hand in hand, mm-hmm. and are very, you know, like I said, they're close cousins.
Well,
I think they're equally, you know, something that we need to look at. But I think that racism, and I think African Americans, because of the history and how we were brought into this country, I think, you know, in the United States, I think black people are discriminated against the most.
I recently saw, Fernando, I actually had a question addressed to you. I saw your interview that you had here in Atlanta on the news. You were promoting your book that documents, you know, your experience living here 23 years illegally. What were some of the obstacles you had to face being here? You know, I know, you know, my opinion that in recent years people have been more conscious of the black versus white kind of thing, but you hear a lot of jokes or comments made to you know, a lot of Hispanics. What were some of the barriers you had to experience while you were here?
You know, thank God I have been blessed that I have been able to visit a lot of places in the United States, and mm-hmm. that has allowed me to actually change my mind about different places. When I first came, I was in New York, and in New York, the situation is a little bit different than here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Here in Atlanta, like you just said, it's a matter of black or white. When I used to go to a club mm-hmm. to hang out over there in New York, for example, mm-hmm. I would just go to a club.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Atlanta, I would have to go to a black club or a white club. And
yeah.
I was like, I am neither. So,
right,
I felt comfortable to go to both places.
Okay.
You know, so that was kind of shocking to me when I started traveling to other places, and I realized how deep was the racism in some areas. And like somebody, Tyrone was saying something about that, yes, racism exists. And I agree with him 100%. But it's not everywhere, and it's not everybody. But yes, that there is discrimination based on race. I have found out a lot about that. In the travels that I've been doing, you know, sometimes I realize that it's not a matter of who is black or who is white. I might be criticized for what I'm going to say, but in Los Angeles, Latinos, they discriminate against everybody because they're a majority.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, here in Atlanta, I've been discriminated against myself. You know, so I think sometimes when people find themselves in a majority, in a position of power, they forget where they come from.
Yeah.
You know, and then they try to discriminate against other people.
Are you an entrepreneur on the move?
Okay. I think we had technical difficulty there. But that's a good point. Bree, let me speak to you for a minute. I know that, you know, you and I have talked previously, and you told me that you being, you know, Caucasian, having two biracial children, that you've had some issues that you had to encounter. Tell us a little bit about that.
My issues, with the exception of one incident that I can recall off the top of my head, have mostly been with older generation. Like, for instance, I have been in, you know, stores or whatever with my children, and I'll get, like, older, like, for instance, an older white man just staring at me and staring at my kids like we didn't belong together, or, you know, just looking at my kids maybe like they're going to do something wrong or something like that, and vice versa with the, you know, the older black community as well. But I did have a recent issue, actually, with some people, neighbors of mine, and they were a black couple, a younger black couple, and they did not like the fact that I had black children, biracial children, to the point where I had to move because the gentleman started targeting my child when I was not around. So, but like I said, I mean, that's just like one incident with a younger couple. Mostly it's the older generation. They just don't, they don't believe in the, I guess, the mixing of races or, you know, whatever it is. I just had more of an issue with older people.
Let me ask you a question. Have you, the fact that, you know, that, like, you know, your children, they're biracial, has anyone in your family or anyone in your, any of your friends or people you grew up with, have they ever had any issues with the fact that, you know, your children are biracial?
No, actually, my family is pretty diverse. I'm Italian, and I have my aunt. She's no longer here. She passed away, but she was married to a Hispanic man. And then I have a cousin who's married to a Japanese man. So we kind of have a lot of diversity in my family.
Well, I want to ask Ms. Parker, you and Bree, actually, because you're both from the West Coast, and I know Ms. Parker, you said that moving out here that, you know, back in Vegas it was more diverse, but here you see the segregation, you know, segregation what it is in 2011. Do both of you see it more, that there's more of a diversity in the West Coast as opposed to here in the South?
No.
I think for me personally, I think so. You know, like the other gentleman said, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting his name, Fernando, I think.
Fernando,
on the West
yeah.
Coast is everyone seemed to interact a little bit more. Like growing up, you know, in elementary, my two best friends were a Hispanic and a black girl. And then, you know, in college, one of my really good friends is Asian. She's Japanese. And it's just, you know, it's, and we all hung out. We went to the same spot. We did, you know, all the same things. Out here, it seemed like if you want to be around a mixed crowd, you have to be mindful on which night you go and where you go. And, like, out there, it's like wherever you go, everyone's going to be there. You know,
yeah.
It's not going to be a black club or a mixed club, or, you know, or you don't have to think about things like that. So I think for me, when I moved out here, I was shocked at how segregated things were. You go to the same club on a different night, and it's like all white people. Next night, it's all black. So it's just it made me, you know what I mean? Like, I still have, you know, the times where I'm getting used to it, whatever, and pick different nights on, like, where I want to go. It's strange to me. When I first moved out here, I actually dated a white guy, and I remember we went to the farmer's market. And the white lady was looking at me so hard, she ran into me with her cart.
Wow.
My goodness.
Regardless of whatever I said, I don't change Chocolate City for no city.
You wouldn't trade Chocolate City for no city? I know that's right.
Let me ask Aaron a question real quick. Aaron.
Oh, hey, Aaron. I'm sorry. I didn't even speak.
It's all right.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank
Congratulations
you.
On the baby. She's adorable.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great.
Aaron, do you think that our culture has changed for the better when it comes to race relations at the, you know, in 2011? What do you think about that?
I feel as though racism still exists. I just feel it's changed in the nature. Before, it was very overt racism. You know, now it's starting to have a covert, it has covert tendencies such as racial discrimination, of course, you know, hiring, things of that nature. So it still exists, but like you all said in the beginning, it's also classism. I know coming from a middle class area, going into high school, predominantly white high school. Now, if you look back at this school 10 years later, it's predominantly black. What's going on is they build new schools in the area, and they take the nicer neighborhoods. So they might live maybe a few miles within the old school, but they send the nicer neighborhoods to the new school with the newer technology. Even cases now, I work at a high school, and I don't want to say the name of the high school, but here in Virginia, I work at a high school, and they can't even take their textbooks home. They don't have enough textbooks. They have to share, you know, and I remember back when I was in high school, you know, there were plenty of textbooks. So how are you getting adequate time to study if you can't take your textbooks home? So, you know,
disadvantage.
I do agree that racism still exists. Like I said, I feel like it's a covert racism, and classism is very much a part of this as well.
Tyrone put me onto this documentary. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, but I didn't see the whole thing. It was called Eyes on the Prize, and it really documents the civil rights movement from the 50s to the 80s. Tyrone, we noticed that in that documentary, in the South, it was like more in your face as opposed to like in the North, where it was still existed, but it just wasn't overly until it got pushed to come to shove. Why do you think that in the South, for some reason, it's more like it's always had that, you know, the stigma?
The United States was created on the basis of slavery, and slavery was predominantly in the South. Through the Mississippi River and the Bible Belt, you had the richest people in the world living there. So they developed a system to keep that system in place. I mean, we fought a civil war over that to keep that system in place. So it's a lot. I mean, again, the reason why I'm like out west up north is, you know, most of your freer blacks left and migrated out to those areas. And you had, I mean, the education systems are better out there as well. Down south, you know, they're the ones that fought hard over civil rights. These were the last states to finally start giving up, start doing things the right ways, as opposed to out west and up north who had been doing it for years. So we're just a little behind when it comes up. But that's why sometimes, you know, to someone who lives out west or up north, they come down here and see how overt some things are. When if you live down here and you've been here the whole time, you're just used to it. You know, it's just how it is. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's any more different than how it is out west or up north. It's just probably more subtle where it is. And that's what that documentary was showing, where, you know, people in Chicago and Indiana and those other states thought they were way more open-minded about race. But when the civil rights movement moved up there, they even came off worse than
bigger numbers.
Than the people that came up. And I don't think people in general I think people at this time in America are probably the least racist than it's ever been, and that's due to there's a lot of things. I think the hip hop, because the younger generation they've all grown up, what they see on TV is a mixture of races. I think it's just the systems that have been in place that have given inherent advantages to some races over, like the criminal justice system or the corporate America system. If nothing changes about it, you may not pinpoint the inherent biases that are in that system. And along with racism, I think it's just natural for people to be cronyous in nepotism. If you're used to being in positions of power and positions of hiring, you're used to hiring people that you know and you're familiar with. And if that circle at the top is just used to being just one race, well, then sometimes it has to be forced to be broken in order for it to change, because they're just, I mean, just like what Fernando said, I mean, it's probably, if this place was majority all Hispanics or majority all blacks, there would probably be, there's always a check and balance between the majority and the minority.
Okay.
So So it is what it is. But with that being said, we have it better than our parents did. Our parents had it better than our grandparents. So it's getting better and better, but there's still some deep issues that we still need to address.
Can I implement something on that point?
Go ahead.
When you talk about the criminal justice system, that's one thing. I studied criminal justice in school. Both my degrees, undergraduate and master's degree, were in criminal justice. And one thing I learned, how the media portrays folks. You know, the media works off propaganda, of course. And when you look at that, you see politicians often, city politicians and things of that nature, and they talk about their influence on crime. You know, and oftentimes, when we think of crimes, we associate murders and violent crimes. But what the tendency of these politicians and people who speak towards crime don't ever break down what is a crime. A crime could consist of running a red light, things of that nature. But oftentimes the reason why they do this is because people tend to put money on crime. You know, people will pay more. It's justifiable to raise certain taxes and things of that nature because people put a black face behind crime. Media also has an influence with this, like you said, in the rap music or even in our television shows. Oftentimes the black male is portrayed as a thug. You know, there's a lot of buffoonery on TV, and I feel that also plays into the aspect of racism. So if we look at it, like you said, we have to look at the whole picture. We have to look at the whole picture. And when you think about that, when you go on that job interview, you have to also look and think about the fact that that employer, when he sees you and sits at that table, you know, with your shirt and tie on, what he's really trying to do is feel the person that you really are inside, if you're that thug or if you're, you know, a working-class citizen. Mm-hmm. So those are all major entities, I think, of racism.
Well, I would like to make a little comment about something that I experienced.
Fernando and then Tyrone. Go ahead, Fernando.
You know, one of the first trips that I made was to Virginia Beach in 1989.
Okay.
And I was taking pictures of printing on T-shirts. At that time, was a novelty, on calendars, posters, and all that. Something that really surprised me a lot was that at the end of the summer was Freaknik. That's why at that time it used to be called Green Fest. I was taking pictures of a lot of people. Am I allowed to say what it says on the T-shirt? And the T-shirt would say, "Fuck the police," with the picture of the guys with the middle finger. You know, there were riots over there, and as a matter of fact, I wrote about it in my book because that shocked me a lot. The National Guard was white people, and there were like 500,000 students fighting the National Guard. You know, that shocked me a lot. But something else that shocked me on that trip is that even black people don't want to be black. I was thinking
pictures.
You
said black people what?
They don't want to be black.
Oh, God.
And I would take pictures, and they would come out the way the picture came out. And I swear to you, a lot of people would tell me, "Hey, that's not me. I'm not that dark." I would be like, okay. And then I had to put extra light for the people. You know, and then in my head, I was like, wait a minute, what is going on? And then most of my friends here in Atlanta, they're black. And I have talked to them about it. And they tell me that, yes, I mean, if you're black, and you are red bone, then you are more appreciated than if you are just plain dark.
That's interesting, though.
So, you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead, Fernanda.
No, those are things that I have realized, you know, and when it comes to discrimination, that's why at the beginning I said that it's not just a matter of color. But at the same time, I said that worldwide, yes, black people is more discriminated than any other race. But when it comes here to the United States, we get discriminated for whatever reason. Even if you drive
a Peugeot,
you're discriminated by the people that drive some other car. You know?
Yeah,
it's a complicated issue. It's a complicated issue, and I think within the black community, we have our own struggles, and I think one of the struggles has to do with, you know, the color of our skin, the tone, and how dark and how light you are, and I think that has to do with something internal in the way we're brought into this country and the way we are treated. But I think the whole idea of people not wanting to be black, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think we just, some people just don't want to be associated with the ideas of who the outsider or, you know, people who are non-black think black people are. You know what I mean? Because we're constantly struggling to prove ourselves. So I think, you know, sometimes you may see something and like, okay, well, I'm a black person, but I don't identify with that. And you feel like everyone else seems to identify you as being black with that behavior or with that way of life. So I think it's not necessarily the fact that, I mean, if you're black, you're black. There is no hiding black. I mean, there are very few people who can hide the fact that they're black. And that's one thing that really bothers me when people try to prove that they're hood. It's like, okay, you don't have to prove you're hood. You don't have to prove your blackness. I'm looking at you and say you're black. So my thing is, I think it's more of a cultural thing within a struggle within ourselves, and it goes back, you know, to history or whatever. But I am going to pose a question to the panel if you guys don't mind answering this question. Do you think there's a difference between racism and discrimination, and if so, what are the differences? Anyone want to take that on?
I think there's a difference because racism usually tends to go against an opposite race, but discriminate amongst ourselves. You know, as an educated black man, you can often be seen as a sellout if you're not down with certain buffoonery that's made popular. You know, a lot of these rappers out here are buffoons in my eyes. Get Waka Flocka, things like that. That's just made to dumb our kids down and dumb our race down. And then on the flip side of that, if you don't agree with it, then you're seen as an outcast. You're seen as crazy. You know, so I feel there is a difference.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes, I believe also that it's two completely different things. You know, because, for example, O.J. Simpson, he was discriminated anyway. Even though he had all the money, he still was discriminated by race, you know. And then at the end, imagine, look at what happened to him, regardless of if it's true or not, whatever he did. But he was free on the first trial, and then now he's in jail because of something else that probably to another person, they wouldn't do probably anything, you know, maybe one year probation or that's it.
He was trying.
So, but discrimination exists in every day. You know. Thank God, I have been having a pretty good life lately. For the last 10 years, I would say. You know, sometimes when I go to a restaurant here in Atlanta to eat with a friend of mine, and I test them. I tell them, hey, look at what I'm gonna do. I put the credit card in the middle of the table. And when they come back to the table, they usually tend to give to my friend the credit card back.
Because they assume you don't have credit.
Yeah. I am Latino. I'm supposed to be a dishwasher. I'm not supposed to have a credit card. I'm not supposed to have money. I'm not supposed to be allowed to pay a nice dinner at Houston's. You know, so that type of discrimination, I have lived through it. But you know what? That doesn't bother me at all anymore.
Because
I know who I am, I know why I am, and you know, thank God, there is a lot of good things that have happened in my life, and I don't want to let people, just because of discrimination, hold me back.
Well, Bree, let me ask you a question. Do you think that, I was having a conversation with a friend today, and we were talking about Donald Trump and the whole thing with the president's birth certificate and whatnot, and me and my friend disagreed on whether I thought Donald Trump was racist or not. He was saying that, well, to be questioning the president like that, he's only doing it because he's black. And I said, well, there's a difference between being racist and being an idiot. You know, to me, I think Donald Trump is an opportunist.
Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations.
Okay, we keep having technical difficulties. But anyway, do you think that people overuse the race card?
In certain situations, I mean, it just is
it's dependent on the situation. But with the Donald Trump thing, no, I don't think he's racist. Like you said, I think he's an opportunist, and he wants he's always wanting to be in the spotlight somehow. So if he can undercut somebody, he's gonna do it. And he's you know, he's all about business. So if
and his
I don't
name,
know,
yeah.
So I don't think it's really a racist thing. I just think he, you know, he just wants the spotlight on him for that moment or whatever. Maybe he is gonna run. Who knows? I don't think it's a racist thing though.
Does anyone think that that we as a people, black, white, whatever, Hispanic, that we use that we overly use the race card? Tyrone, do you think?
Yeah.
You think some of
the like, yeah. That's the reason I posed that question, is actually was going into that. I feel like we do overly use the word racism. I think most of the thing that we describe as racism is discrimination. And I think the simplest way to describe or the difference between the two is I believe that a person who is racist has the power to directly change your life, affect your life in a negative way. So, for example, if I go on a job interview and the person who's interviewing me is racist, he has the power of making a decision that's going to affect my life. Like, if I don't get this job, I may not be able to pay my bills. A guy who was discriminating against you, you go on a job interview, he may have a certain impression of who you are or different opinions on what he thinks you may be, but you still have the chance of getting that job because he's not set on disqualifying you because you're black.
Because you're
I think anyone who has who's in the power to make a decision that's going to drastically change your life and is able to make that decision based on your race, I think that's racism. But I think if people have certain views on you as a black person and what they think you are, I think it's just they're just discriminating against you, and we do that to other races. So that doesn't really bother me because you can think of me, you know, whatever you want to, but that's not, you're not changing my life. You have no power to do anything about my situation.
In a sense, that is changing your lifestyle, because it could also be a person that doesn't have to be racist. They could just be ignorant to you, and a lot of times what people don't know about tends to scare them. So they might not give you that job, not because they hate you or they have this hatred for your race, but they just might not know anything about you and feel like they feel you're inferior to them.
No, I agree, but that's somebody who's in the power of if that person's interviewing for a job and they make that decision based on the fact that it's a color issue, is what I'm saying. If they make a decision based on that, I know there are other things they can make decisions on, but if they make a decision based on your race, that's racism to me. But if it's the person, for example, your coworker doesn't like you because you're black, or I don't think that matters. You know what I mean? Like, people who doesn't matter, who's not going to affect your life, it's not racism, because I'm like, who cares if that person doesn't like me because I'm black?
I don't think racism is as overt like that anymore. Racism can be it could be 15 things taken in consideration, and race was one of them, and that may have been the tipping point. And what I mean by that is, there could be three black people that interview for the job, and he hires a black person, but he hired based on some racist point of view where he felt like they came from a better side of town. He appeared less threatening, as opposed to the other ones. Even though the other one may have been more qualified, I think it's a lot more subtle. The only person who would pull the race card and when it's red is probably someone ignorant, probably didn't deserve the job anyway. I think any person who's been a part of corporate America, I think there's this understanding, especially for minorities. It's probably not so much for Asians, but for Hispanics and Blacks, is that you have to work twice as hard to get the same job as a white person. And we may not say that out loud, but we have a firm understanding. I work with all my friends are corporate American people. We all have that understanding. And the clearest understanding is the highest power in the United States, and that's Obama, who's someone who's one of the most articulate, most intelligent, ran one of the greatest campaigns in presidential history, yet he's still questioned and second-guessed on so many different things. However, if a black person had spoke like George Bush, wouldn't even be considered for management at McDonald's or something. And so to me, racism, if you're exceptional, I don't care what race you are. If you're an exceptional person, you'll succeed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're over, the problem is that you have the power such as you have a lot of white people who are mediocre. Most people in life are mediocre. The problem is the only blacks that are excelling in America are the ones who excel, the top 10%, top 10, 20%. What you have is a vacuum of a power structure system that helped a lot of white people excel, and they were mediocre. And you have someone, and everyone's been there where they have a manager, where they have someone, and you know you're five times smarter than that person, but it's because of where that person came from or who they knew and what they got those type of opportunities to advance up. I mean, that's more of a – and I don't even want to – because when Michelle brought up the interracial, I mean, me being, you know, with the light-skinned, dark-skinned, we have a lot of interracial hatred in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Or stereotypes of what we think is – or what we think. So, I mean – and then when you were talking about discrimination, I mean, discrimination is everything, whether it's – what you now, I mean, as a female, you can be discriminated for being female. You can be discriminated for being gay. So there's multitudes of – a discrimination. So I just want to
know. Discrimination.
Let me say something about what happened about 2 years ago when we were in the middle of the financial collapse that happened. And the president of Brazil, he said that the people who caused the economic collapse was white people with blue eyes. And, you know, by saying that, I do believe, you know, like when you mentioned corporate America, it still is dominated by white people. And regardless of whatever we want to say, racism still exists here in America, everywhere in the world. And, you know, it takes the family, it takes the parents to teach their kids to overcome that. You know, and probably they could even trick them. They could tell them, you see Beyonce? That's how interracial kids look like, you know, because to tell you the truth, I have seen so many interracial kids. They are so beautiful. And as a matter of fact, at the Auburn Festival, I saw a lot of interracial couples yesterday. And it was so nice for me to see that.
At the Auburn Festival? Auburn Festival?
Yeah.
Okay.
Over there on Auburn Street by Martin Luther King, I went over there. I had a ball.
Oh, good. Well, I have a quick question because we need to get ready to wrap up, but I have a question for each person on the panel, and Ms. Park, of course, you can answer as well. And I want everyone just to we can go down the list, starting with Tyrone. Do you think, you know, obviously the racial issues have gotten better in some degrees. Like you said, our grandparents had it worse than our parents, and we have it better than our parents. Do you think that it will ever get to the point where it really dies out? And if you think it could get to that point, how do we change that? What can we do to change that? Tyrone, you go first.
Well, one way, because Americans intermixture probably more this so than any other country in the world. So obviously we're becoming more interconnected, and we're having more biracial children. So just that in itself will help it die down. It will never die down. Race, in general, we will always discriminate based on something. Whether you're fat, small, your skin color, stuff. I don't think that will totally ever die out. But I think it is getting better. What was the rest part of your?
I was asking, do you think it'll ever go away? And if it could go away? And if it could, how? What can we do to ensure that?
I just think in certain sectors, I mean, when you look at, when you look at unemployment, and unemployment for Asians is like 8%, and unemployment for whites is like 9-10%, and blacks is 20%, I think there's certain resources and allocations that's so disproportionate. When you look at the criminal justice system, and 7 out of 10 people who are convicted are for drugs, and 10% of all crack users are black, but 65% of who are incarcerated are black. I think we've created a cyclical cycle. And, you know, as you know, y'all are in the hiring industry. If you get a felony on your record, you can never work in corporate America. You can't. So there are certain systems that are particularly in place. And I want to say for poor people, that it's hard. I agree. You have to be able to. If you come from a sound family structure and a good monetary system, I think you can go overcome anything. Like I just
right.
think you can. No matter what difficulties and stuff came, but if you come from an underprivileged class with very few opportunities and in a dysfunctional family, there'll be that one in a million that comes out of it. But the numbers show that very few people advance past the social class that their parents were. So ultimately, again, I think it's becoming more. The further we go along, I think it'll be more of a classism than it will be racism, because I think. I think we're mixing along and more. So I think more of us are going to look alike anyway. So I think it's going to become more classism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fernando, what do you think? Do you think that it will die out? And if so, what can we do to contribute to at least, if not dying out, getting better? What do you think?
You know, there is an example that I tell my friends all the time. You know, human beings, you give them one finger, they want the hand. You give them a hand, they want the whole arm. You give them the arm, still that they are not happy. You know, so we're going to be looking for trouble no matter what. And racism is a perfect excuse for anything, you know. And I don't think it's going to die ever. But at the same time, I think we can, like, modify it. Like I said at the beginning, it's not a matter of race. It's more a matter of class. You know, do you have money? You are okay, regardless of your color. But if you don't have money, no matter what you do, you're still going to be, and then they're going to call you names or whatever. And
right.
Something that Tyrone mentioned, you know, I agree with him 100%, because here in Atlanta, I believe that it's very strange for you not to have a friend that doesn't have a felony. And I have several friends like that, you know, and it's so sad. I tell them, you know, I am struggling here trying to stop Governor Hill from signing HB 87. And I tell my friends, you know, I feel more sorry for young black folk with a felony. Because like you said, they don't want him. They don't want people like that to work in corporate America. To tell you the truth, they don't want them even to work at the parking lot.
A felony will mess you up.
I you know, that is so terrible for some people that have to go through something like that.
Yeah.
You know that. But you know, I don't believe ever is going to die down, but we can at least, like I said, through education. You know, Tyrone said one in a million, but I believe that through education, I think we will be able to overcome. I believe education is the key for a lot of things. The problem is, remember the movie about Superman or something like that, about wishing for Superman, or I don't remember the name right now.
Okay.
But you know, education system here in the United States is so poor. It's so poor. You know, I am sometimes, oh my God, I can't believe that I asked a high school graduate how much is time 9 times 8. And they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, you know, my country might have a lot of problems, but a fifth grade kid knows how much is 9 times 8. So, you know, unfortunately, we are in a catch-22 situation. I am saying that education will be the key, but the education is so messed up over here. You know, that first we need to begin by fixing the education system. And by education is that we could overcome not just racism and discrimination, but a lot of other problems.
Okay.
Steve, I would like to ask you, you know, if you allow me 1 minute or 35 seconds probably to read something from my book. I am a huge Michael Jackson fan.
You're a Michael Jackson fan?
Yes, a huge Michael Jackson fan. I dedicated a whole chapter in my book, Michael and Me, Gone Too Soon.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Okay, Michael's passing was so bad. His death came like a dangerous and a smooth criminal that nobody could beat it. I remember the time when I look at the man in the mirror and wonder if another part of me would help me cope with the loss. Human nature is tricky. It makes you smile or cry. But when you have someone dear to you gone too soon, you can't smile. You just want to scream, even if that makes you look like you're off the wall. But if you feel so much pain, go ahead, scream, and don't stop till you get enough. Your screaming might not heal the world, but for sure you are not alone. I am sure there is a stranger in Moscow and other places in the world that want to be starting something. And maybe the Earth song would be a good beginning. And by the end, probably a Liberian girl, Billie Jean, someone in the closet, or maybe even Lady Diana, Hispanic, Asian, black, or white, might want to rock with you and jam to follow Michael's moonwalk to make this a better place. Okay.
And that was from your book, Memoirs of an Illegal Alien.
Yeah, from Memoirs of an Illegal Alien.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned 25 songs in that.
Yeah, I know. You know, and the Michael fan picked that up. Let me go to Bree real quick. Bree, do you think that it will die down? And if so, how can we do to at least help towards getting the race relations better?
I agree with Tyrone and Fernando. I agree with both of them. I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, it may die down a little bit, but we're going to still have, you know, the pockets here or there that, you know, there's just some people that were raised that way and they're not going to change and they don't want to change. And so I think we're still going to have to deal with it. It's not going to go away forever. But, we got to start with our children. Like Fernando said, education. We have to educate these kids. There's so much more in this world to be worried about than, race. And I just think that people focus so much on that, and it doesn't have to be like that, and it shouldn't be like that.
I agree. Aaron, what do you think?
I don't think like I said earlier, you know, I think it's going to continue to be more covert. And just like Tyrone said with the criminal justice system, I know in the 90s the government was making about $35,000 a year per inmate. So the prison system is a big business. You know, it provides a lot of jobs, cops, courts, and corrections. You know, and so you're always going to need to have people locked up. So, therefore, you know, I can't foresee it changing the complexion. You know, like I said, people associate crime with black, the skin tone, you know. So,
Hispanic, black and Hispanic.
And one fact I read in a book, I can't remember where I read it, but they said it's more African Americans incarcerated now than there were slaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with that stands alone, you know, there are laws that are set up for minorities, crack cocaine and pure cocaine. I'm sure you all know about that law, you know. So there's so many different attributes that keep us incarcerated, not just behind in the cell, inside our minds, watching TV and things like that, and all those contribute to racist views, racist thoughts towards African Americans and other minorities. So yeah, I feel it'll be around for a long time.
Okay. Do you guys know who was the one who privatized the penal system in the United States?
Who was that?
The first black president, Bill Clinton. You know, he did a lot of things that you know. I make a joke about. I asked some friends of mine, I asked them, who was the best Republican president in the last 50 years? And some of them mentioned Ronald Reagan, but to me it was Bill Clinton. You know, No, I make the joke like that, you know, that he did everything Republican. And he was the one who created that big business, you know, because you're absolutely right about that $35,000. And that is average, because some places it costs more than $50,000 for an inmate.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a big business for those corporations to incarcerate more people. And unfortunately, the minorities are the ones that get incarcerated the most.
Yeah.
You know, Latinos and blacks.
Steven, one more thing I wanted to add to this conversation.
Okay.
a lot of people harp on politics and the racism in politics, but I honestly, my honest opinion, and this is just my assessment, I really don't feel it's as much racism in politics. I just feel that, like you all said about Donald Trump, I don't know if he's a racist or if he is, and I don't like to cast judgment on people. But I do know one thing. As far as these politicians, they know what things to say to divide people. Do you honestly think if we were united as one, we would be paying $4 for gas? You know, but if you can divide people and divide the thinking of people, the Democrats and the Republicans and things like that, you can always control people. But if mm-hmm. we had a united front, it would be a true democracy. So that's mm-hmm. one thing we have to keep in mind when we look at these politics. We can't be like, oh, he's a racist. He hates Barack Obama and things like that, because at the end of the day, they all go and drink tea together and laugh up and talk it up. So,
that's
right.
True.
What?
Well, listen, y'all. Steve, let me real quick. To add on to that point on divide and conquer, which Republicans have done extremely well, during the 90s was the emergence of the huge black African-American middle class. And one of the wedges Republicans used was the fear of the black man racism to keep poor and middle-class white people, rich white people, to make it seem like that their issues are different than poor and black, poor middle-class black people. So, you know, normally in your most rural or your places of white areas that are poor and middle class, they have the same issues of health care as we do. They have the same issues of education, but they don't want to vote the same way because rich people have used the way to divide to make them think that we're taking from them when we're all in the same fight. And if we all fought a united fight, there wouldn't be a 2% ruling class in America.
Let me say something. You know, one of the things that shocked me about the United States is that the election, not everybody votes. Only whoever wants to vote, votes. And unfortunately, most of the people that doesn't vote are minorities. You know, if everybody that is over 18 would register and vote, right now, we wouldn't be talking about Republican Party.
Well, listen, that's definitely something to think about. And I hate to cut it short, but we are about to run out of time. But I want to thank everyone. Let me go through it again. I want to thank Tyrone, my brother Aaron, Bree, and Fernando. Check out Fernando's book. Again, I'm going to have him on the show again so we can really talk more about the book. But the book is called Memoirs of a Legal Alien. It documents his been in the country 23 years, illegal immigrant. Thank you all for taking the time out to talk to us. I value both all you all's points, and good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Good night, Steve. Bye. Okay. Bye. Good night, everybody. Everything's gonna be all.
Entrepreneurs on the move. We shape the life for a better tomorrow.